This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All sorts of great storylines as we really start the golf season in earnest with the beginning of the Masters. And Jason Sobel's down there, the Action Network senior golf writer, is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Jason, how are you today?
I'm good, Brandon. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure. I'm doing absolutely awesome. My in-laws were out there Tuesday for the practice round. It was raining a lot. Obviously sunny today. Conditions-wise, very receptive, fairly easy, because I know we got some rain. How's the grounds now in terms of difficulty?
Yeah, really not as soft as I think we figured it would be 2 days ago. It rained a lot overnight on Monday and through Tuesday, and I think that a lot of people – a lot of the players assume that it would be very soft out there, and it really isn't. It's playing about the way we would assume an Augusta National would play during Masters Week. Like you mentioned, 3 under, the best score so far today. That's a bit higher than we usually see. We usually see something in the 67, 68 range, so obviously there's still players out there, but looks like that's going to be about the best score right around there. So,
okay.
Playing tough today.
All right. Last year the winning score was 15, and I don't think they were too thrilled with that, so you trick it up a little bit. Not that you can control the weather, but they made a few revisions on that. Didn't they stretch a hole out 44 yards? What did they do to change it a little bit? They did something, right?
Yeah, the fifth hole has been stretched out from, I believe, 455 to 495 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that hole's playing longer. The green's a little bit more receptive. They've fixed that a little bit too. So I haven't seen the scoring average on that hole today. But that's probably playing a little bit tougher than it did last year, but not a major impact at all.
Okay. I'm watching the highlights here, and even in real time, when I got into the studio, I had it on first thing. I couldn't wait to get out of the car so I could get the golf channel, on Sirius off my radio, and then get to my studio to watch the golf. It's just, it's four straight days. That's all I'm going to do, basically. And Jason, it's really hard to watch Jason Day. How is he still playing? He looked as if he couldn't even bend over. He looks like a 60-year-old, man with a bad back. He's physically not right. Is it dangerous to keep playing here?
I think if it was any other week, Jason Day would be in a physio trailer right now, getting himself worked on and out of the tournament. But I think just because it's the Masters, he's going to keep giving it a shot. So we've seen him with back problems forever. I mean, he started having back problems when he was 14, 15 years old. In fact, in the Chicago Tribune today, Teddy Greenstein, a buddy of mine, is writing a piece about the tree, the famous oak tree behind the clubhouse, and he happened to capture a moment innocently between Michael Campbell, the former U.S. Open champion, and Jason Day. And Campbell said, "Hey, you look good." And Day says, "Well, I'm 31, but I feel like I'm 50. And that was really foreshadowing what we're seeing today, because he looks like he's 50 to the rest of us today.
Yeah, and what a shame, too, because, there was about a 2.5-3 year window where he combined power and precision and touch and creativity and presence and flair. And a couple of years, Jason Day was the whole package. He was a superstar.
He was, and whether it was something that he did with his swing, he swings obviously so hard at the ball, and whether that's contributed to his back injuries or whether it's just something that he was always going to have, hereditary or whatever, I don't know. So it's hard to criticize him for anything, and I don't think too often, and this probably happens in all sports, Brandon, but especially in golf, we saw it with Tiger. Tiger went through all these back injuries, and people almost made it sound like it was his fault. Like somehow he wanted to be injured and he wasn't treating himself right or something like that. Jason Day, we see him gutting it out there and people are kind of rolling their eyes oh man, there goes Jason Day. He's limping again. I love the fact that at the biggest tournament of the year, he's obviously in pain and yet he's gutting it out and he's trying to play golf. I think that's pretty admirable.
It is admirable.
That's
the word I was going to use, too. Now, just to clarify, we're talking to Jason Sobel, the Action Network senior golf writer, who's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. When you say some of the eyes are rolling, do you mean players? Do you mean the patrons?
No.
Whose eyes are rolling?
No. patrons. I'm sitting here looking at Twitter and people are going on Twitter. Oh, wow, Jason Day again. Here you go. He's hurt again.
Gotcha.
Well, yes, this is a lingering, recurring injury, and he's had to deal with it for a long time.
That's what I thought you meant. Just wanted to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to Tiger. I know you do a lot of interviews, and let's face it, you know, golf, people who do what I do for a living, you either know golf or you don't. So you get hit with the questions which must bore you to death. Can Tiger Woods really win a major? Of course he can. He's hitting the crap out of the ball. He's in great shape. He's got depth. I know the putter's a little icy, but that gets going. He's going to win again. We all know that. So my question is more sophisticated, and I can't wait to hear your answer.
Please.
I think you'll like this question, too. It's a guess on your part, but I'm really curious where you go. The best part about Tiger getting hurt and being humanized, you know, when he was picked up by the police, just going through the public ringer, he's come back with a deep appreciation for people. He looks you in the eye more. He's more engaging with fans. Tiger Woods seems like he's having fun, and that is awesome to see. He's no longer robotic. But here's my question, Jason: if he ever starts to dominate again, and I believe that he could, does he turn back into Robot Tiger, or is this the Tiger that's here to stay, the affable, fun, enjoyable Tiger?
I think between the ropes, he becomes kind of Robot Tiger. In fact, Justin Thomas mentioned they played a practice round earlier this week, and he was asked, you know, what'd you learn from Tiger? He said, yeah, no, Tiger was kind of tight-lipped out there. He didn't want to help me too much. So I think between the ropes, he becomes that robot once again. But outside of the ropes, outside of golf, I think that this new Tiger is sort of here to stay. There are a few examples. When he came back in the Bahamas about 18 months ago for his own Hero World Challenge, I asked him a couple of questions in the press conference. I was sitting down to write my story, and I read about six words on the screen. I kind of feel this somebody sort of breathing down my neck, and I turn around. It's Tiger. He's got a big smile on his face, and he looks at me and said, "Don't blank it up."
Yeah.
Tiger of 10 years ago would never have done. He would have walked way out of his way just so he didn't have to go through the media center and see us writers. And now he doesn't mind doing that. He accepted an award, the Ben Hogan Award from the Golf Writers Association of America last night, and for perseverance and coming back from injury. And he was very, very contrite. He was very open, very honest in his speech, and he did a really good job with that. So, I think this is just sort of his personality now, whether it's the fact that his private life has gone through the ringer and, he just kind of feels like he needs to be sort of more likable, whether it's just being a dad and, you know, kind of understanding that, or maybe it's just maturing. It may be just, hey, you know, I'm the same age as Tiger, and I'd like to think that I'm more mature than I was 10 years ago. And,
yep.
Maybe he's just kind of matured into sort of a nicer guy to be around.
Yeah, well said. Perspective will make better people of all of us, provided you allow it to and you embrace it and you're aware of the changes. The one thing we have to still work on, Tiger, is still a little tight with the old tips I'm hearing in terms of the leaving. Right, Jay? He's still a little tight leaving tips or what?
I don't know. I've never done anything for him to give me a tip, so I wouldn't know personal experience.
I hear you. That's the word on the street. I was watching this morning. It has been for like 20 years. I was watching this morning from our home before I got in my car to come to work, and I always love, as you do, deep appreciation for the ceremonial first tee shots. You know, Gary Player's 83. He looks like he's 60. Jack Nicklaus is 79, and the legend. Gary, I feel like I know so much about Jack, and I know what Gary means to the golf community internationally, but can you share something? Like, I still feel like there's a relative unknown, because I didn't grow up watching golf. I didn't grow up, you know, loving golf. I'm in my 40s. I'd say the last 15 years, I have really, truly fallen in love with the history, educated myself. I play, not well, but I play. But the Black Knight is still a little bit of a mystery to me. Can you give me something about him that I missed along the way? Why is he so special?
He's probably one of the game's all-time great, or not probably, he is one of the game's all-time great international players. And I don't just mean the fact that he's from South Africa. I just mean he traveled everywhere. He traveled the globe. He would play in Europe. He would play in America. He would play all over the globe. And I've spoken with Gary, with Mr. Player. I can't call him Gary.
Sure.
So many times over the years, and he is fervent in the assessment that he has flown more miles around the globe than anybody else who is living today. I don't know that there's any way to quantify that. I don't know that there's any way to try to figure that out, because I'm sure he wasn't keeping track back in the 50s and 60s when he started flying around all over the place globally to play all these events. But it just goes to show you that it really is. I think he helps sort of make the world a little smaller in golf, and he helped bridge that gap between between the continents and made it a global game. So he deserves a ton of credit. I know, obviously, Jack is an absolute legend. In my mind, he's the GOAT until and if the time that Tiger Woods has 18 major championships. Arnold Palmer deserves so much credit for bringing the game to the masses. So does Tiger, of course, in his own way in this generation. But Gary Player should not be overlooked for everything he's done for the game as well.
Jason Sobel, Action Network senior golf writer now. And I notice you say Mr. Player, but you say Jack. You don't call Jack Mr. Nicholas to his face?
You know, I have. For whatever reason, Jack is kind of Jack. It was always Mr. Palmer, which he hated. And I spent time around him, too. And as soon as I'm going to walk up to him, go, hey, Mr. Palmer, he's face would kind of drop a little bit, like, hey, how you doing? He wanted guys going, hey, you old whatever, and just making fun of him, and he loved that. He loved the little give and take and, you know, kind of making fun of people a little bit. So, I think he always kind of flinched at Mr. Palmer, but I couldn't bring myself to call him anything else.
I miss seeing him. We all do. We all miss him. We're going to always miss him. Man of the people. All right, a pop quiz before you go. You ready for this, Jay?
Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm ready.
I'm going to set this one hole. I'm going to give you, I got one, two, three, four, six different aspects of golf. Without expounding on the name, you can give me a couple of words, but I'm going to give you five different scenarios, and I want you to tell me the player in golf history you would want to hit that shot.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. You ready?
All right. Let's do it.
Tee shot, long par four. Who do you trust the most with the driver in the history of the game? Long and straight. Who are you going with?
Give me Greg Norman.
Greg Norman. Shark action. Okay.
Rory McIlroy is right there, but if everything's the same, if I can use the same equipment and things like that, obviously
sure.
Rory hits it a lot longer than Greg Norman ever did, but he's got different equipment. If you kind of compare the eras that way, Greg Norman's probably the greatest driver of the golf world.
I get it. No, and I like how you put that. That context is important. Trust me, I get that, but I'm happy you say that. Long iron to a par five that you probably, let's say that you have to shape it, either left to right or right to left, a shaped long iron to a par five. Who are you going with?
I have to go Hogan.
Ben Hogan?
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And obviously, we're going back and again.
Yeah.
The context of, you know, he was hitting three irons and not the kind of distance that these guys would hit a nine iron for the same shot. But best ball striker of all time, I'm still a firm believer in.
Okay. Many people that know a lot more golf than I do would back up that claim, that assertion about Ben Hogan. Let's go with not quite a mid-iron. Forget about the hybrids. Let's say a 7 or an 8 iron into a green. You got to be in Birdieville. It's got to be dancing. It's got to be hitting the stick. Who are you going with?
Give me Phil.
Phil.
You know what? No, give me Tiger. Give me Tiger.
Ooh.
I can pick Phil off.
Ooh.
Tiger.
Okay.
Tiger, for all of the greatness that Tiger has achieved over the years, we would always, during his prime, talk about the great ball strikers in the game and say, oh, you know, Sergio's a really good ball striker. Adam Scott's a really good ball striker. We'd almost leave out Tiger because he does everything else so well also. And he's the greatest ball striker of all time. I mean, up there with Hogan, who I just talked about. But, yeah, give me Tiger for that.
You don't have to sell me too hard. I have no problem with the Tiger on any answer. I got three more for you. A greenside bunker shot, and obviously you got to dance it near the pin. You got to get down for a birdie to win. Who's your bunker guy?
I was hoping you were giving me that one.
I got you. Yelled
very close, but Seve's got to get the nod there.
Seve Ballesteros.
Short game artist ever.
Mr. Creativity. Saw things nobody else saw, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You could do that. You give him a one iron in that bunker, he'd still get it up and down.
First. Oh, that is good. That is well said right there. A 40-foot putt, not to drain it. I mean, if it goes in, it's a bonus. It's, you want great leg. You want to walk up and tap that in with your big toe. So you want to get down into guaranteed 40-footer, maybe a little bend, maybe a little pace. Who's that guy?
It's between like a Bobby Locke and Brad Saxon's a terrific putter in his day. I'm going to go though with Ben Crenshaw.
Crenshaw.
I really thought was one of the best putters of all time. And, you know, I again, I mean, you could really say Tiger. You could say Jack for any
exactly.
of these. And you'd be – so I'm probably stretching with guys who, well, he wasn't that great in the rest of his game, which really made the putting stand out more, if that
mm-hmm.
makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Tiger's great at everything. So, yes, Tiger can putt. And maybe he's a better putter over his career than Crenshaw, but he also does everything so much better that that kind of gets – left by the wayside, if that makes some sense.
It makes total sense. And I thought you might say, Ben, I have to plead ignorance. I honestly don't know much about Bobby Locke. What decade? When did he play?
We're talking about like the 40s and 50s. Bobby Locke was a
don't know much
South
about
African
him.
Who he was just – and again, I'm going by stories.
I got you.
I wasn't around. There's not too much video. But
sure.
All the stories that he was back then – the best, but of course the greens were rolling a 7 or 8.
Exactly.
A 14 or 15 like they are today.
They weren't quite concrete back then. All right, 10 seconds, and then we got to bounce. And this has been awesome. I hope you guys have enjoyed this interview. Jason's doing a great job. 7-footer, must have, must make it. 7-footer for the win for a major. Who's getting that short stick? Who are you going with?
I've always said, see, you phrase it a little differently. Whenever you say a 7-footer for your life, I always say me because no one else would care enough to actually read it and make that putt for me. But if it's for a major, it's got to be Tiger. Jack's right up there too, but give me Tiger to make that putt.
Jason, this was really good. We're going to get you back on for sure. A bit of fanny work for a long time, but for my audience that, you know, maybe just read you and hasn't heard you on the radio, I think they're saying the same thing. This was fantastic. Great job, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I appreciate you having me on. That was fun.
Yeah.
Way more fun. I've done a million of these this week. That was the most fun one all week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.